We celebrate today in this church the consecration that took place 5 years ago. And it is important that a church be consecrated because in this temple, we are not gathering together solely in the presence of a priest, ministers of the altar. We are literally gathering before the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. You see, many churches are nothing but empty halls where people may be entertained or the speaker has to wow them with a great homily, with great music. Some even dance and sing. But you see, we come here knowing that our temple is not empty. It doesn't require even the priest for us to come here and be in the presence of our beloved Lord. In the Old Testament, they had the Ark of the Covenant. What was it? It was a wooden box covered with gold, angels carved on the top, gilded as well. And inside were the Ark of the Covenant, or really inside the Ark of the Covenant, were the tablets of the Ten Commandments. And there was power emanating from it. You couldn't even touch it without dying. And yet we have something greater here. We have the body, blood, soul, and divinity of the living, breathing Jesus Christ in that tabernacle. Sometimes we forget. It's easy to forget because he looks like bread, tastes like bread. But in the Catholic Church, in every single parish throughout the world, in every single Catholic Church, from the Vatican down to the most humble sanctuary, there is no bread in the Catholic Church. There's no wine in the Catholic Church. We don't imitate the Last Supper. We literally are enveloped in the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ, and we have his presence physically here. Now, I know that's kind of difficult, because when we see that little host, it's very difficult to keep in mind always that this is my God, the one who holds me in existence. Imagine the Ark of the Covenant contained stone tablets given by God to Moses, and people died touching it. They couldn't even touch it. And here we have our Lord and our God, the one who holds us in existence in this tabernacle, in every tabernacle on earth. God chooses to be a prisoner. A prisoner for what? So that you and I will know him. You and I can encounter him. You and I can receive him. And for the purpose, so that you and I will go out into the world and become him. You see, it's important, the consecration of a church. And the reason it's so important is because you and I have to be the church. Do you know that the family is called a piccola ecclesia, a small church in itself? Every family must be a church unto itself. And the reason why society is so messed up is because the family is messed up. Think about it for a second. Everybody's trying to throw money at every single thing, every problem, every woe, every ill that we have in this country, yet fostering at the same time the destruction of the family unit. And then they think somehow that that money and that effort and that energy is somehow going to make things better. Well, it doesn't work and it never will work because the problem with our society is not anything but a problem with the family. When you have most of our children who don't even have a father or a mother or two parents, where our children aren't even guided by their parents anymore. And then we wonder why society is in such a mess. You see, society is nothing more than the reflection of the family unit, period. You can try to blame any and other things that you want. But if you don't recognize that fundamental, basic, honest truth, you are lying to yourself and to every single other person. When the family is healthy, society is healthy. Think back 50, 60, 70, 80 years, 100 years, 200 years. Whenever our society has thrived, it's because the family was thriving. The family was good and holy and united in prayer and love of God. The family unit was strong. Society, the state, the government, everything was strong. So the problem we have in our society, we can point a lot of fingers, but we need to study the family unit. We need to return to the values of the family unit, where Christ is the center. The family is Christocentric. If the family gets dissipated in all the things of this earth, so will society. Oftentimes I've heard in my life, not when I was a child so much, but as I was growing up, I heard, well, we didn't have very much, so I'm going to dedicate my life to giving my children everything that I never had. How stupid. Downright dumb. People think that your job as parents are to make your children happy. That's not what parents are for. It's to guide them and make them good and healthy and holy adults. Our job is to give them love, not stuff. I remember there was a woman in Italy when I was studying there. She gave her children every single thing they ever wanted. Her and her husband worked their fingers to the bone, and they had the most beautiful stuff. Golden faucets, velvet furniture, beautiful, beautiful artist works, carved work, brass and stone. Beautiful palace they lived in. She was sick. She was dying. Her husband had died. And I'd go and visit her. And she would lament that her children were never around. One day someone came up to the church where I was staying, and they said, "Father, I believe she died." And I said, "What? Well, how come we didn't know about it? I mean, she's a member of our parish." They says, "Well, you've got to come. The door is open to her flat or to her palace." So I went there immediately, and I walked in, and I noticed the first thing I noticed was the doorknob was gone. Well, the doorknob was gold. They had spared nothing for these kids. And I walked in, and everything was gone. Every single thing was gone. Every stick of furniture. There was garbage laying around. The carpets were taken, the furniture, everything. I went in the bathroom. The faucets were gone. And all of a sudden, I heard an animal or some noise in another room. I thought, oh, no. There's animals, and we have to call somebody. And I went into the bedroom, and there was this woman. Her bed had been taken from her. Her mattress was left there on the floor. And she was crying. And I ran up to her and I said, "What happened? Did somebody rob you? I'll call the police. Call the police right away. Go over to the church and call the police." She says, "No, no." She says, "I wasn't robbed. It was my children." I said, "What?" And they said, "Father, they came and they were asking me what goes to whom. We want to know now before you die." And she says, "Well, I don't know. I can't make a decision right now. I'm sick." And so they began to strip my house of everything that I owned. And they left me my bed and my clothes, which were strewn all over the floor. She looked at me and she said, "Father, I gave them every single thing they could have ever desired. But the one thing that would have made the most impact in their life, I forgot to give them love and respect." You see, my dear brothers and sisters, it's things of this earth will never make us happy, will never complete us. They will never be the salvation of mankind. The things that surround us, even this church, if we do not find the author of life within it, if we do not recognize the living presence of Christ here, if we do not bring that presence into our family, we are nothing but an empty shell. If we do not bear Christ within us, we must become, as the Ark of the Covenant, not only holding those laws within our hearts, but holding him within our hearts. We go beyond the Ark of the Covenant. What we must become is a very living, breathing, walking tabernacle of Christ. We must live his presence and in his presence. That's why we celebrate this beautiful day. when this temple of God was consecrated. And from that consecration on, his presence is always here. We know where to find our Lord. Let us constantly renew the awareness of God's presence. You know, that's what makes saints, is being aware that he is here, being aware of his presence throughout our entire life. There is no place we can run, no place we can hide where we will be out of his presence. That's why the church prays during the day, all throughout the day. We have the morning prayer, we have the early prayer, the midday prayer, the mid-afternoon prayer, the evening prayer, the night prayer. Why? Because by recognizing the presence of Christ constantly in our minds, in our hearts, we begin to live in the presence of God. We begin to become aware that he is here with me, wherever I am, day and night. That's what makes saints, to be always aware of his presence. That's the key to true holiness. It's not posing for holy pictures. It's not pretending. It's not being too sweet either. Ugh, nothing worse than sweet, ultra-sweet people. After talking to them for 5 minutes, you need an insulin injection. That's not what holiness is all about. Holiness, as I've told you before, is being normal. And being normal means to live always in the presence of God, to live always in that love that gave its very life for us so that you and I will realize that our love has to be of a caliber that is willing to literally shed its blood for the love that we have received, for the love of our friends and our neighbors, our enemies, whoever it might be. For to lose one's life in this world is to gain it. If we listen to Jesus, we know the truth, and we know what we really need. And what we need is not necessarily all that we want. We can want for all the things in this earth, and yet in that tabernacle is the one who created it all. It's all from him. And he holds it in existence in his hand. And so we have the universe within us. For we have God with us. We don't look up to heaven to a God who looks down from his throne. We look into our very selves and we find the presence of God through sanctifying grace, through the gift that he gives us of his very self. We really must always bring that to mind. It's easy to forget. It's easy to live our lives in such a way that we think that God is up there someplace, that God is looking down upon us. That's not true. He's enveloped in our very lives, in the fabric of our existence, in our very soul, in the very grace that he gives us, that sanctifies us and vivifies us and gives us life. He is in the light that we see, in the air we breathe. But especially, he's in the Eucharist we receive. His body, blood, soul, and divinity. As I've said before, for 15 minutes, he lives physically within each one of us. His hands are in your hands. His heart is physically beating in your heart. You are looking through his eyes. That is the reality of our faith. Any lesser than that, and we would not be Catholic Christians. Let us look to him. Let us find him. Let us find him first, as Mother Teresa of Calcutta said when she knelt before the Blessed Sacrament for hours before she went out into the streets of Calcutta. When somebody asked her, you know, there are people dying in the streets of Calcutta while you're kneeling here. And she simply looked at him and said, if I did not know him first here in the Blessed Sacrament, I would never be able to recognize him in the poor. We must know him here first. It is not social work that saves us. It is falling in love with Christ, and all of the work we do then becomes the work of Christ. It then becomes valuable to society and to humankind. But we can't go backwards. We have to find him first, love him first, and then everything we do, everything we say will become grace and will be a gift. Not only to God, from God to each one of us, but to the world in which we live. You are called to be a light of the world. You are called to be the ecclesia, the church itself, in your home and in the world. Show the world that Christ lives. Show the world that he is present among us. Show the world where to find him and how to find him and how to see him. And it's simply by loving him. That's all we need to do. Fall in love.